B-Pod Studios.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Felger.
I don't know, guys. Am I going to play? Am I not going to play? What am I going to do?
Mass.
Yeah, Mass, you stupid. S-T-O-O. Stupid Mass.
It's time for Felger and Mass, presented by DraftKings on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
That's right, Mickey and Nigel, 98.5 The Athletic Center here. Give us a ring, 61-777-0985. Obviously, we're talking about the disaster at Wembley yesterday. England falls PKs to Italy, 3-2, just a disaster. Wankers!
That's all I needed today. Thank you.
There you go. I dance for you, McCarthy.
Thank you.
I know what you were doing. Set me up there. It's Jim Martin. No, it's Jim Murray and Adam Jones in for Mike and Tony here on Felger and Maz, 98.5, The Sports Hub. It's a re-entry Monday. It's brought to you by East Boston Savings Bank. If you're looking to finance a home mortgage or commercial real estate property or simply looking for a free checking account, visit ebsb.com. East Boston Savings Bank, in your neighborhood since 1848. Before we get to your calls, too, I just want to let you know that it's time for the DN Van Lines Moves Around the League. The move around the league is that it's now the All-Star break, which I know that at least in this room, or in these two collective rooms here, Matt McCarthy's fired up for that. I don't know. Will I watch much of it? Honestly, no. Haven't cared about the All-Star game since I was like a wee lad, maybe 88, 89. Like even in like my 20s, like when I'm like super crazed and charged up about sports more than ever. Like, I don't know, the All-Star game, it's like lost so much buzz for it.
Yeah, since Daryl Strawberry was out of it, it's all downhill.
But the Red Sox, as their Twitter account is quick to tell you, as they've changed their bio, we found that out today. They've changed the bio from bleh, we've kept the receipts from the first week of the season, to BRB, be right back. Heading to Denver with five of our players. Paraphrasing there, but it's something along those lines. So five Red Sox players will be representing the Red Sox in the All-Star game here as part of the break. And in sports, making moves are tough decisions when moving your home or business. The decision is simple. Go with Felger's Mover, DN Van Lines at 1-800-51-MOVER. That's 1-800-51-MOVER. I feel like pretty much everyone has used DN Van Lines here. I know your cohort in the evenings, Christian Arcand.
Oh, yes, Arcand speaks
them.
Very highly, yes.
Yeah, and Ted Johnson, Felger, of course, Nick Jamelli. So
yes.
Give DN Van Lines a call.
Don't do what I did and say, oh, I can move myself. It's no problem. I'll just get a couple of friends. Don't make the same mistake I did.
Yeah. Pay us in beer, and then everything is broken. No, call a real mover. Otherwise, just break all your stuff in advance, because that's what your friends are going to do.
Yeah, and have your friends sneaky hate you. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. No, they all do. Trust me.
We've been Patriots and Red Sox-centric, so let's run through some of these calls before we get Jones' take on the Celtics and what's going on with them. And the fact they're still trying to pump up Marcus Smart for some reason. Let's go to Tony in Connecticut. You're next here on Felger and Nats. Hey, Tony.
Oh, yeah, hi. Murr, I'd like to circle around what you have to say. I'd like to have you listen to me for a short second. And this has nothing to do with me. It's just common sense.
All right.
All I'm saying is just common sense. All I'm saying is I'm 78. I had brain and lung cancer and pneumonia. And they says, well, what about side effects? I got that shot as soon as possible. And I go out. I don't have to wear a mask. And the bottom line is these athletes are next to each other. And what you didn't bring up, though, Murray, and I respect you, is, you know, how many millions of people we have saved with that shot in the United States? What is wrong with these athletes? Stupid. And it has nothing to do with me. I'm doing great. I'm going to hang up, Murray, and I'd like to have you comment, all you guys. And I'm telling you, they got to be stupid, 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 being next to all these athletes and everything, and they're going to worry about. You think I was going to worry about side effects? No way. It has nothing to do with me. It's just that the millions of people that we had to save. I'm going to hang up and I'm going to listen to you guys. Thank you very much.
And I said it earlier, like more than anything else, it comes down to like my ethos, the one thing I live my life by more than any other thing. The greatest gift you can give another human being is to not inconvenience them. And so, as a professional athlete, like while I would have trepidation about getting the shot, like fine, but for the greater good and to make sure that there's no competitive imbalance going forward, I'd just get the thing. And this came yesterday, Philadelphia Phillies, 2.5 hours before the game against the Red Sox, had to pull four players, including their starter, Aaron Nola. So, okay, I get that you wouldn't want to get it for whatever reasons, because your uncle posted something on Facebook, because he's done, I read something. I'm sure you did, Unc. But for the greater good, especially as a pro athlete, you don't want to have things disrupted. Just for disruption's sake, my thing would be, like, just get the thing. And I'm wondering now, as this continues, again, 7 months into the new year, which is crazy to me. Like, again, that's the sentence that shouldn't exist in mid-July of 2021. So-and-so has been pulled because of COVID protocols. I wonder if the leagues are going to eventually have to say, enough. Enough. You want to play, you got to get it. And I think they would be well within their right to say that. I do.
Of course they would. Of course they would. And I don't think any league wants to be the first to do it. But, like, you know, I doubt the NFL will be the first to do it. But you better believe once another league does it, I think they're all going to follow suit. I think everybody's kind of waiting for that. And I think we're trending in that direction. I definitely think they're well within their right to do it. I think you're right about that. But I don't know that any team in midseason is going to do it. I don't think the NFL is going to be the first to do it. So we probably need the NBA or the NHL.
Yeah, I mean, listen, you know, the NFL with their protocols, they've tried to make it really, really miserable on you if you don't get the vaccine. And, you know, maybe, you know, baseball wasn't hard enough. I mean, I know the Red Sox aren't at the 85%. I think, you know, we'll probably see these leagues start to get a little bit more strict and really make the protocols very untenable for, you know, for the people who don't want to get the vaccine. But I would not be eventually surprised if we do see a requirement. They wouldn't be the first business or the first, you know, organization or the first whatever to require a vaccine. It happens all over. You can't send your kids to school without vaccines, you know?
Correct.
Yeah, again, so just on my personal story, just quick, like, again, it came down to, again, you know, trying to do the right thing for my coworkers and my employer. And selfishly, when I saw, like, what I would still have to do if I wanted to get on a plane, like, F that. Like, what? I'll roll those dice. I had some concerns. I'm getting the thing. Like, I'm not like, oh, I still got to, like, quarantine after coming back from a flight. Don't have to when you get the shot. Like, just do the trade-off. Like, just for convenience sake, if I was one of these pro athletes, like, so you mean to tell me I don't have to get tested every day? Fine. Stick it in.
I don't have to get tested every day.
Yeah.
I can go out to dinner. I can
have my family come with me.
Right. I have no idea what my mask protocols are, but, like, you know, like, those are lifted. Like, yeah, why would you not do it just for that?
You're looking to cheat then. That's what I would, because otherwise, like, you know, the family now gets to come with you. What are you really saying there? Married guy that doesn't want to get it. You're looking to cheat on the road.
It's a good point.
Blake.
It's a good point.
Blake and Holden on the Red Sox. Go ahead, Blake.
Hey, guys. So I agree with you, Matt. They need to make some moves to deadline. But I was at the game Saturday when I tell you, that was the most disgraceful piece of baseball I've ever seen in my life. The bullpen was horrible. The starting pitching was disgraceful. The bats couldn't get anything going. They need to require a real first baseman, a real starting pitcher, and a real reliever. Thanks, guys.
Matt, talk to me about that eighth inning meltdown on Saturday.
Yeah, it wasn't great, but I hate to say that, like, those things happen, but those things happen. I mean, I'll look at the grand scheme of things. The Red Sox bullpen has been their strength.
One of them was Taylor,
Taylor.
Who hadn't given up a run in, like, months. Like, you knew the wheels were going to fall off that one.
Sure, exactly. But I think their bullpen is stronger than their starting staff right now. You want to say, go out and add a bullpen arm, go out and add a starter? That's great. That's fine. But if we're ranking the priority, they should add a starter first, because you've seen what you can do in the playoffs. The Red Sox didn't have a good bullpen in 2018. They won. Why? They rode their starters. So, I don't know. I think their bullpen is better than their starting rotation right now. I would prefer if they added a starter. But you want to go out and add two big league pitchers, one starter, one bullpen guy? Sure, fine. More power to you. Go for it.
And my thing from the draft, and I like to mock all the Red Sox fans who had no clue who Marcelo Mayer was. And now
just like you, Jones.
Now are peacocking around. I didn't know, but at least I'm consistent. I'd never heard of the guy. But I had at least heard of these Vanderbilt pitchers, and I said, oh, yeah, that makes some sense. Then they don't take the Vanderbilt pitcher who's on the board, and now they're peacocking around like, woo, Chaim Bloom did it again. My whole thing is, now that you have maybe your top prospect in the system, which makes sense. He was drafted fourth. Like, he probably should shoot right to the top of the rankings. I think Fangraphs put something out where he's already like a top 40 prospect in baseball based on their rankings. So, great. Now, Chaim Bloom, you have an extra chip. It doesn't mean trade Mayer, but somebody who was already in your top five. Now you have no excuse not to make a trade at the deadline. You have to make a trade now that you acquired a piece like this that dropped into your stupid lap. You have to make a deal.
This is where you're spot on, Jones. Jeter Downs needs to be that guy. Downs did not impress at the alternate site last year. He's hitting .230 in Worcester this year, the launching pad with the wicked winds of Worcester, as you've been talking about.
Most underrated story of 2021 in sports. Yep. What's going on in that park?
No, it's the way it carries. Comes out behind home plate, just takes that ball right out. You got to trade Jeter Downs.
Jeter Downs would be the guy to go.
Just in the didn't he have like a hit in the Futures game?
Yeah, how's he hitting at Worcester right now?
No, what I'm saying is maybe you use that to pump him up a little bit.
He's still a top 100 prospect in baseball. The reports haven't been great on him. I'd see if he can sell now. You know, if you get, you know, the guys that can help you this year, I would do that. Absolutely. I'm not trading Casas. I trade Downs.
We got Anthony in the town of Tewksbury calling in about the match yesterday at 61-777-0985. Anthony!
It doesn't make sense because Rashford and Sancho didn't play the entire tournament, and then they throw Rashford, Sancho, and Saka in to end the whole entire tournament as if it's like throwing Mac Jones in to throw the last pass of the Super Bowl and then blaming it on him because he's young when it's Raheem only brought one pair of pants, so he stays back. I don't get why they expect all three of these young guys that don't play to do everything for them.
So, Anthony, you follow this a lot, I take it, just from how you're talking. So did they just overthink this, England?
I think that they just didn't put in, like, Raheem Sterling just sat on the sideline. Rashford hadn't played a single minute the entire tournament, and then they throw him in at the very end.
They made a couple of, I forgot who they were, but they made a couple of substitutions right before PKs, with PKs in mind. And what McCarthy said earlier that I didn't really even think about, like, I don't know a lot about England. I know Kane and I know Sterling.
Harry Kane.
Right. And Sterling. And, you know, Sterling was awesome all tournament long. He didn't take a PK. I didn't really even think about that until McCarthy said it. And I guess it's because he was dumping his pants, too afraid to go out there like the last caller suggested. So you got to stick a 19, 20, 21-year-old kid out there or a string of them in a row because your best player is too afraid.
A kid who had never taken a penalty kick at the club level, let alone with 6 decades of failure and the weight of a nation on your shoulders in that moment.
That's why there has to be the equivalent of a Felger and Maz across the pond. Yeah, Mickey and Nigel, 98.5, the Athletics Center, just ranting about this today.
Oh, yeah.
How'd they put him in that position there, Mickey? They had the match. They had the match. Like, they got to be losing their minds. Like, this is the biggest match they've had in half a century.
Yes. Yes. They've. What did you say? It's the first time they've even been to a final in any major championship
since
in that
66.
Never mind, won it. And so, yeah, no, I imagine. What do you call it again? The Athletic Center?
98.5, the Athletic Center. It's Mickey and Nigel here on a re-entry Monday. And they really re-entered it, didn't they, yesterday? They sure did, Mickey. They had the match. They had the match.
It is just full phone lines over there. People can't turn the knobs when they're listening over there.
All right, so Jones, again, his return after a week off. He went from rainy New England to rainy Pennsylvania.
Yep.
A hell of a summer we've had so far. But he hasn't been able to weigh in on the Celtics and how they're still pumping up Marcus Smart. I wanted you to get your thoughts on this, the tweet we read into from the Celtics official account last week. And how about that performance in Vegas from the Team USA and Celtics representatives like Jason Tatum losing to Nigeria over the weekend? We'll get to that coming up next here on Felger and Maz.
Felger and Maz on 98.5 The Sports Hub. Follow these guys on Twitter at Felger.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Please, Maz.
What the?
Felger and Maz.
What the F are we doing here?
98.5.
What are we doing?
The Sports Hub.
Felger and Maz, it's 98.5 The Sports Hub simulcast, NBC Sports Boston. No Mike, no Tony today. It's Jim Murray, Adam Jones, Matt McCarthy in my normal spot. You at 617-779-0985. Let's touch on the Celtics. As Jones, you were out all last week. First, your thoughts on this tweet regarding Marcus Smart. Did you read into this? Like they had this like hype video for Marcus Smart with the muscle emoji, and I forget what it was that they wrote with it, but it felt to me
game changer.
Game changer.
Yes,
as we all know. Game changer.
Yeah,
Marcus Smart.
No, he changes the game for sure.
Just keep chucking up those shots, Clang.
Yeah.
do you read into this? Because we talked a bit about this a few days, and in that it feels like this is maybe going to lead to an extension for Marcus Smart.
No, I mean, look, it ruined my vacation. A bunch of people tweeted this at me.
I'm glad it did, by the way.
And it ruined my vacation. I'm like, great, here we go again. Like, I left, and Ime Udoka's, like, talking up Marcus Smart, and I got to hear about how even prior to Ime Udoka talking him up, Smart was one of the players being polled about who they were going to hire along with Tatum and Brown. Like, it's just, they're going to extend him, and I don't understand why. I really don't. And it's not even about my personal Marcus Smart thing that I think fans overrate him. I think the organization overrates him. And I just think players like that really are a dime a dozen. Like, I've said this a bunch, Jim. Like, he's Matthew Dellavedova without the ring. He's Alex Caruso without the ring. Like, you can find players like that, energy guys who make nothing off the street. Like, you can find other guys probably on this roster.
Jones, and watching the finals, it's, you know, and I know he was here, but he's smaller Jay Crowder.
Right, exactly. Like, Jay Crowder, by the way, leaves Boston, goes to two straight NBA finals, but that's another story for another day. So, like, I don't get it with Smart. I don't. But even if you're a Marcus Smart fan, people were doing cartwheels over that Al Horford trade, right? Because of all the cap space it frees up. You pay Smart, that cap space is gone. Like, you can't go get Bradley Beal, which maybe you don't want him after that showing the U.S. had against Nigeria the other day. But you can't go get a free agent in 2 years if you extend Smart or the Time Lord or Evan Fournier, depending on the years with Fournier, because you could probably get him on a shorter-term deal. That would be my ultimate gripe with Marcus Smart. If I don't get the whole Marcus Smart experience, then I don't get it, and I've never gotten it. But fans who wanted cap space, you should hate the idea of extending him. And as I said, that tweet, a bunch of people forwarded it to me last week on my vacation, and it ruined my vacation because I think that's where it's going.
And then you had this. I don't know how many people were paying attention, but by now you might have heard it. On Saturday, the U.S. men's basketball team, which Jason Tatum, of course, is a part of, was upset by Nigeria. Nigeria, the same team that they beat 9 years ago, 156-73 at the 2012 Olympics in London. That was a real score. The United States, the U.S. men's basketball team, defeated Nigeria 156-73. Now, this stacked all-NBA roster this time around loses 90-87 at Mandalay Bay in Las Vegas. Sure, just a tune-up, but, I mean, what? Huh? What a horrible sign of things to come.
Yeah, well, and if you're a Celtics fan pining for Tatum and Beal teaming up, I don't know. It didn't look so hot to me the first time I saw it. And look, they're probably going to win gold. The U.S. should win gold. They have no excuse not to win gold. I don't care if it's a tune-up. How the hell did you not win that game? You had Kevin Durant.
Yeah, and Durant had a team-high 17 points. Tatum only had 15.
Right, but like you still have the best. I think the best player on Nigeria is like Precious Achiuwa or somebody like that. Like, I looked at I kept reading story. Well, you know, Nigeria's littered with NBA players. Yeah, bench players. Like, these are the best players in the NBA on
Team
USA.
They should beat this team by 20 with one arm tied behind their back.
They were favored by 30.
Yeah.
They were favored by, I think, 28.5, so I'm exaggerating a little bit. They were almost a 30-point favorite. They beat this team 9 years ago, Jim just said it, by 83 points.
Doesn't seem like enough to me.
They get Tatum and Beal together, which Celtics fans are like, you know, pleasuring themselves to the idea of it, and the team loses game one. Maybe I'd rethink the whole Tatum-Beal thing, Celtics fans. That's my takeaway.
Well, so, okay, maybe that's a little strong at this point.
No, not strong enough.
No, but here's what I'll say, Jones. If the U.S. does not win gold at the Olympics, which is automatic, it's anything less than gold is an absolute failure for the United States in basketball.
Yep.
If they don't win gold, that will in some way, shape, or form be a reflection on Jason Tatum, right?
Yeah,
he's one of the star players on the team.
And the head coach, by the way. Udoka's there. I know he's not running the team, but him, Bradley Beal, yes, it'd be an indictment on every single person on that team. Yep. Yes, if
every
they don't
person
win gold,
associated.
Yes, of course.
I think it just speaks more to me. Like, my takeaway is, like, it speaks more to, like, the mentality of today's NBA player and young NBA superstar of, like, well, we'll try what we want. And I hate that. And that Tatum's part of that, too. Yeah. Like, so I don't know if it's indicative of, like, the how he and Beal mesh. It's like all those guys are all pros. Like, they're some of the best players on the planet. They are some of the best. They are the best players on the planet. And you just kind of decide when you want to show up. And you see that during the regular season. You certainly saw this with the Celtics team these last 3 years. That's just annoying.
I make the connection, though, because didn't they both start?
Yeah.
I think they both started. Tatum and Beal both started. And, like, they're not the only guys out there. But, like, I don't know. Like, Beal's the one guy I think realistically they could recruit to come here just given that connection. But, I didn't like what I saw game one. It's only one game. If they turn around and win gold, it won't matter. But I that's giving me pause on that whole thing. It is.
Or maybe it's something else. You know, I have said, as you know, as I do my my plugs for Northeast Men's Health, this is the summer of doing. And those guys, you know, out in Vegas.
Sure.
I just wonder if they're enjoying the summer of doing before they head over to Tokyo and have to be quarantined for quite some time.
That's a good point, because, yeah.
Maybe the legs were a little bit dead.
The summer of doing may not be extending to Tokyo. That's true. Doesn't sound like it will be.
It's not going to be the typical Olympic Village experience.
No.
And the Celtics of the conversation, you want to join in on that at 617-779-0985. But we started with the Patriots and Brent in Shrewsbury. Wants to talk about Dante Hightower. Go ahead, Brent.
Hey, guys, I'll finish with the Hightower question. I did want to say a quick thought about the Olympic game, actually, now that you did switch to basketball.
Sure.
I think we all know what happened here. It's a bunch of bench players. Saw the guys that get all the fame and the celebrity and the opportunity to go party. And where'd you say they were playing?
Vegas.
Yeah, perfect. So, like, those guys probably can't get into as good of parties and stuff. And they came out and... If you guys have seen that old movie Hoosiers, that team had less of a chance than the team that wins in Hoosiers as an underdog, and they beat them, and it's amazing they held them to 87 points. But what I wanted to ask about Hightower is that oddly specific stat that he pointed out, kind of less legitimate than what Gilmore was doing on social media. Is that playoff games too? Because he's had to have played a lot more playoff games than most linebackers in that time frame. Thanks, guys.
All right, so let me pull.
A good question.
Let me pull up that Instagram post from Dante Hightower.
Is that counting postseason? I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know. So again, so we're reading into this post, this Instagram post by @_Boomtower, Dante Hightower on Instagram today, which is most QB pressures by off-the-ball linebackers since 2012. Very specific stat.
Right, and again, those aren't guys who typically pressure the quarterback. That's not typically what you want out of your off-the-ball linebacker. You can have them do it. You know, Tampa feasted with that last year on their run. The Patriots have done it before, and it's helped them greatly. But, like, you know, typically that's not where your pressure comes from.
And by the way, very convenient year for it to start, huh? 2012.
The year he entered the league.
Dante Hightower's first year in the league.
Sure.
So he leads the five players that are in the photo with 191 pressures. Fine. But, and he also, I mentioned this earlier, he liked a tweet from a random fan, talking about all the accolades and how he's used and the diversity of his game. And so it's what he's doing with this Instagram post and the tweet is kind of like what Stephon Gilmore's doing. Is like you probably want me to take a pay cut. I ain't doing it. Then this is what I've done in this league. I'm a versatile player. I have these, again, most pressures from an off the ball linebacker since 2012. Bill, stuff it. I ain't taking your pay cut.
No, and I think you were right, Jim, to connect them earlier, because I didn't make that connection.
With he and Stephon Gilmore.
Right. The Patriots are probably saying, we need a few extra bucks to pay Stephon Gilmore. Let's go to Dante Hightower. And they go to Dante Hightower and they say, can you give us a few bucks? Take a haircut here. Let's get Stephon Gilmore out there. Let's get the best team possible out there on the field. And Hightower, just like Gilmore, says, F you. And the larger problem for Belichick is he's got a lot of players telling him to go F himself right now, doesn't he? Gilmore. Hightower. Even freaking N'Keal Harry, they're all telling Belichick to go screw. And that's just what we know about publicly, and it's all very public with all three of them. And, you know, Bill made this mess. He chased Tom Brady out of town, and a year later, the thing is crumbling around him. The players don't respect him, and they are openly flipping the bird at him. A lot of them.
617-779-0985, as Jones is getting, he's re-entering here on a re-entry Monday. We've now touched on the Patriots. We've touched on the Red Sox. We've touched on the Celtics. Let's mix in a little Bruins next, shall we? We'll do that. Get Jones caught up there. Get his latest. Again, he was off all last week. It's Jim Murray, Adam Jones in for Mike and Tony today here on Filgren Maz. Matt McCarthy in my normal spot, and here he is with the headline.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
You are a sorry lot. You are a sad, sorry lot. 98.5. Literally pathetic. The Sports Hub.
Every kid, you know, grows up, dreaming of, you know, playing for their hometown teams. You know, whether that happens, now, later in my career.
Jack Eichel.
I admire all that you've done in your career.
Thank you very much.
live, the Sports Hub simulcast, NBC Sports Boston. Jim Murray, Adam Jones in for Mike and Tony today. Again, Matt McCarthy in my normal spot. So that is the lovely wife of one Mike Felger, Sarah Underwood, who took her, I believe it was a zip trip up to North Chelmsford.
Isn't that's where he's from, yep.
Yeah, I mean, isn't that just Nashua? I'm serious. Like, I used to, and years ago, I had a girlfriend that lived in Chelmsford. It was always Chelmsford. There's a North Chelmsford now. That, again, that's Nashua. You just go over the border. There's the mall, Louie. You get some pizza. You get some time. Yeah, Either way.
It's like South Park, Soto Sopa. Yeah, right. Everything has a name. Yeah
the Lofts at Kenny's house.
So Sarah Underwood, that was with her, with Jack Eichel, who is currently with the Buffalo Sabres, but could be potentially with the Boston Bruins. And Jones, as you were out last week, this audio pops up. And I know you still have a thought on Jack Eichel to the Bruins.
Well, so I know you guys talked about this many moons ago, and I defended this take at the time. I defend it again. I don't think Eichel for Pastrnak is crazy at all. And I know the Bruins are supposedly on the periphery of it. I think Elliot Friedman had his 31 thoughts and characterized like three teams that were in and another three or four that were on the periphery, including the Bruins. I don't think Pastrnak for Eichel is crazy at all. Like, Eichel plays a more premium position. How would Pastrnak be if he were alone in Buffalo and wasn't on a line with Bergeron and Marchand?
Probably not great.
Probably still pretty good. He'd probably be like Eichel was alone in Buffalo.
He wouldn't be putting up the numbers that he puts up here. Well, I just think that franchise, you know, eats guys alive, especially guys, you know, and I think that, you know, Pastrnak enjoys being here too. He'd probably be miserable there. So, you know, that would go with his game, you know, like he'd be miserable.
Here's my thing. Eichel plays a more premium position. Like, you know his numbers that he produces, and this last year's numbers were horrible. He was hurt. The injuries are a concern with him. I'm not sure, you know, Pastrnak is a lock to play every single game, every single year, whether it's injuries or other things with him either. So I think Bruins fans kind of whistle past the graveyard with that one. But at least, you know, Eichel can produce on his own. I really don't know what Pastrnak can do on his own. He rides the coattails of Bergeron and Marchand. So I've been saying for years I'd love to see him away from those two to really get a good gauge on what he is. I don't think it's crazy. And furthermore, too many fans cite the contract. Too many fans are like, well, Eichel makes this and Pastrnak makes that. No, I get it, you dummies. But Eichel's locked in at his number right now. What do you think Pastrnak's going to want in the next deal? There's uncertainty with Pastrnak moving forward contractually. So you need to get medical clearance on Eichel, and maybe you can't, right? And I think Friedman had another note, something to the effect of like, until you get real close with a deal with Buffalo, they're not going to reveal the medicals. They want to keep the medicals very airtight. So you need to get the medicals checked out on him. I understand that. He needs, I forget, is it like vertebrate replacement surgery in his neck or spine or something like that? It hasn't been done in an NHL player. It's been done in other athletes, but not in an NHL player. So you need to get that checked out, and you need to feel comfortable with that as an organization moving forward. But I don't think swapping out Eichel for Pastrnak is crazy at all. I'd rather have that second-line center, if you will, who could be a franchise center moving forward, because who knows how much longer Bergeron can do it, if he's even still doing it at that quote-unquote franchise level.
What else would you like to see them do this offseason? Are you re-signing Krejci? Are you like me and Mike, and you just want Tuukka Rask to go away?
Well, of course I want that. I mean, that's an easy one. But like I said this before, if they didn't bring back any of those three guys, meaning Rask and Krejci and Hall, I wouldn't really care all that much. Like, I really wouldn't. I am done with Rask. I'm basically done with Krejci, and Hall was pretty schmeh to me. Like, he was great down the stretch in the regular season when they played Buffalo every other game. He fattened up on a horrible team all year long. That's really all he did. I guess he was okay in the first round, and then he went poof. Like, we all expected him to go poof at some point in the postseason, round two against the Islanders. Palmieri kicked their ass. They could have had him at the deadline. They got Hall instead, and Hall stunk. So I don't care if they lose all three of them. They have to go out and spend. They have to go out and bring in other talent. So who is that? I don't know. I mean, Palmieri's a name that's out there right now. Was a hell of a lot better in the postseason than Hall was. But you can familiarize me with the other names. They got to spend that money, and they got to replace those guys. I'm not married to any of those three players, quite frankly.
Yeah, I mean, I think to your point, Jones, the Bruins need to be very aggressive in some way, shape, or form in this offseason. And to me, Eichel represents that aggression. Unlike you, I would not trade Pastrnak for Eichel, because even though, to your point, and it's well taken, that Eichel plays a more premium position, you know, theoretically he's a, you know, more valuable player in Pastrnak in that sense. I understand where you're coming from. I do feel like that's somewhat of a lateral move, because I don't think bringing in Eichel, swapping out Pastrnak, makes you a Stanley Cup champion.
I don't know if it does or doesn't, but at least now you have two lines going, as opposed to just one stupid line that you have every year, and then the second line goes belly up every year in the playoffs. Like, that would be part of my thought process.
Well, and fair, and that's why I want to bring Eichel in, because you want to talk about depth at center. after, you know, I mean, Bergeron's getting older. He's not getting any younger. They don't have any centers really coming up through the system. You need that next guy. The advantage to me that the Bruins have here in the Eichel pursuit is, one, he probably wants to come here. I certainly believe that. And two, they can afford it. They just have to be willing to spend the money and maybe get him for a little bit less. I don't give up Pastrnak. I don't give up McAvoy because I feel like...
Yeah, McAvoy to me is a non-starter,
right,
too.
Non-starter.
I agree with that. Yeah.
It feels to me like a lateral move. But if you can take advantage of the fact that you can make that money, Tuukka Rask, $7 million, DeBrusk, $10 million, right there. That's it. That's Eichel's contract.
Yeah, maybe
that's
maybe,
his $10 million.
Also,
take on the money.
Buffalo's allowed to like retain salary to expedite the deal, too. So there's no guarantee you're paying that full salary with him.
But if you're not giving up Pastrnak and you're not giving up McAvoy, I don't see how you get him if you're saying, well, some salary back, too. That's the advantage that the Bruins have to me. Don't give up Pastrnak, don't give up McAvoy, but take on the full salary.
No, that would be an A. You're getting Pastrnak sort of deal.
Right.
Can you retain some salary?
And Jones, any thoughts on Vladimir Tarasenko of the Blues, who wants out? He wants to be traded there. The Bruins have been... I mean, at least in speculative articles, like they could be one of the teams that could have some interest there.
What does he cost?
Well,
you know, like he's not going to cost you Pastrnak or McAvoy.
No.
So like, I don't know what does he cost? I don't feel like the Bruins have another good piece to throw at them. But sure, if I'm not trading either of those guys,
I mean, his number is $7.5 million too. So you'd have to have, you know, that's real money. My thing with him
he's been really hurt for like 3 years.
42 games he's played in the last couple of seasons. So people will remember him from, you know, the Stanley Cup final, and he's been a 30 goal scorer, and there's a lot of talent there, but he's had massive shoulder issues, and that's why he's only played, you know, 42 games over the last couple of seasons. So like, that's a massive red flag to me for someone like Hall, who at the time I could get why people would have, you know, issues with him as far as character and injuries are two completely different things. You can make a guy actually like being here, and I think Hall enjoyed his time here. I think that I hope that they re-up him. But Tarasenko with a massive shoulder injury these last couple of years, like, I'm good, no thanks.
Well, and just, you said you hope they re-up Hall. What's the number? You know, is it $6 million?
Yeah, sure.
I can't imagine he takes that. Like, I know a lot of Bruins fans have kind of talked themselves into that idea because...
Well,
like,
I talked myself into it. I'm going to try to take him at his word because it sounds like he'd be willing to take a hometown discount to stay here.
He's never taken a hometown discount
in his career.
He, you know, he's been paid through the nose from the second he came into the league as a first overall pick. And he chose to go to Buffalo. Too many fans ignore that. Like, he could have come here last offseason. He could have gone a lot of places. Oh, well, you know, he was alone in Buffalo. That stinks. Whose fault is that? That's his fault. He chose to go there because they gave him the most money. He chased the most money last offseason. So maybe he learned, but there's nothing in his history, nothing in his decision-making over the years that tells me he's going to take a dime less to stay here.
All right. Well, we'll add to the Bruins the conversation. I think we've touched on pretty much everything at this point. So you want to join us, do it in our long commercial-free segment coming up 617-779-0985. It's Felger and Mass.
Boston's home for sports.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
Felger and Mass.
Mike, you there?
Yeah, good. And you? Oh, yeah, I have a landline. This is my landline, yep.
Now, more Felger and Mass on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Felger and Mass, 98.5, the Sports Hub, our long commercial-free segment. I know what I wanted to touch on here. Something that I heard Tucker and Rich talk about earlier this morning. So when Beadle and Hardy were talking about it in the midday, and I have some thoughts as well. And this is Ben Volen's column in the Boston Globe that I read on Saturday, which is titled, Longtime NFL Writer Ben Volen Ranks the Best NFL Destinations. Now, I was in from the get-go for a couple of reasons. One, I am one of these destination football guys. Like, I've done this 14, 15 years, whatever the hell it is, done a road Patriots game with my buddy or like a road college game. So, like, okay, that and a listicle. I know this will be easy to read. I'm a moron. Like,
right, I'm not sitting down for a long form piece here.
Yeah. Bing, bang, boom. I love a listicle.
Right.
So Ben, in part, says, I've been lucky enough to cover more than 200 NFL games in 13 years as a writer in 29 NFL cities plus Mexico City.
Ooh.
And he says, parenthetically, I have yet to attend a game in Los Angeles, Seattle, or Las Vegas. Very important to remember that. He has yet to attend a game in Los Angeles, Seattle, or Las Vegas. Seattle and L.A. were supposed to happen last year, but of course the pandemic. So he says, he goes on, here's how I rank the NFL's 30 football cities based on fan experience. My rankings factor in tourist attractions, weather, stadium atmosphere, ticket availability, and accessibility to the stadium. Okay. All right. Now, you know, I'll get to my rankings later because, I don't know if ticket availability is that big of a thing. Like, you can find tickets anywhere. There's secondary markets. You can find tickets to anything. It's stadium atmosphere. Really, to me, it's about, like, the trip. And you're going with your boys. You typically are. And this thing usually, when I've done them in the past, and I know, Matt, you've traveled for some before. Hey, Jones, have you done road games or anything?
Not for football, no.
Okay. It's like, you look at it as this. You're in late Friday. You have Friday night. You party Saturday, or you go to a college game. That, to me, is very important. What's the proximity to a college game, especially if you're in a real market, you know, SEC country or the Big Ten, something like that, so you can go to a game on Saturday. And then Sunday you go to the game, and at that point, the game's kind of an afterthought. Like, you want to see your team, cheer them on, but if the atmosphere is in the stadium is not all that great, who cares? Who cares if they win 35-0? Like, you just go because that's part of the trip. That's the impetus of the trip, but the other stuff is just as important.
That's how I felt about Philly 2 years ago. Game, kind of the worst part of the weekend. Everything else? Great.
Yeah. All right. So, give you the top 10 here from Ben. He starts with New Orleans and says it's really hard to have a bad time in New Orleans. Incredible food, incredible culture, nightlife. Almost everything is walkable, including the stadium on game day, the atmosphere inside the Superdome. Always loud and supercharged. He follows that with Green Bay. And writes, Lambeau Field is the NFL's destination stadium, and every fan needs to go once. Got a mom and pop feel. Now, I've been to Lambeau. Years ago when I worked for the now-defunct G4 TV network, we did the Madden tour. We got to go to Lambeau. I got to go inside the place, see it.
I was a P1, by the way. I watched, like, every episode.
Thank you very much. Yeah. Appreciated that. It was you and five others watching a chubby me getting fatter during the tour, by the way. We lived in a bus eating a lot of bad food and drinking every night. But having been to Lambeau, now I haven't been to a game. I'm sure it is awesome for a game. But that is like having a football stadium in, like, Western Mass. Like, there's nothing to do.
It'd be like some of these college destinations, right? Like, it's like you're just, there's nothing going on but the game.
Yes.
Yeah, it's like going to Happy Valley or something like that.
Yeah, and I'm all set with that. Like, I need to have other stuff going on. And again, like, you got to see other things. I suppose do it once. I've never been. I admittedly have never been to a game there, but I've been to Lambeau to see it just to, like, you know, do a TV shoot there. It's cool. Like, and having been there, like, I don't feel the need to, like, go and see a game, truthfully. I really don't, because the rest of the area sucks.
Did you go inside the stadium, though?
Yes. We did the shot inside the stadium.
Did you do the Lambeau leap?
No, didn't get to go on the field, but I bet got to be in the stands. But it's neat to see like, they have put a stadium really, like, in the middle of a neighborhood, which is kind of cool. But, like, to be there for the whole weekend, ugh. Ugh. Number three, Miami. That's a given. Four, Las Vegas. Again, keeping in mind that Ben starts this column by saying, I've never been to Las Vegas. So
he said he's never been, or he's never been to a game.
Never been to a game in Las Vegas.
So he knows the city.
Yeah, well, he writes here, I've never been to a football game in Las Vegas, but I have visited the city enough to know that it is automatically a top five NFL destination. He also writes a great stat via TickPick, one of the top 10 most expensive tickets for the 2021 season. Bucks, Pats, obvious. Cowboys, Patriots, the other eight are Raiders home games. I heard Fred talk about this morning, and I couldn't agree with him more. So, okay, kickoff's 11. You're in Vegas. Say you're in your 20s and, like, really into the Vegas thing. The last thing I want to do is go to a football game. Like, I want to either try to sleep it off or go to the pool and continue to drink or maybe gamble a little bit more. Like, the time in Vegas is, it goes very quick. I don't know if I'd want to waste 3, 4, 5 hours, especially if you want to try to tailgate a little bit and, like, get amped up for the game. Going to a game in Vegas, like, it's something I eventually will get to and want to do once just to see the stadium. Like, I'm like one of those people. I want to try to see as many stadiums in each sport as possible. Yeah. But four when he's never been, like, Ben, this is why people, like, hate the newspapers. And, like, just talk about what you've been. Talk about the experience, what you actually have done. Don't say, hey, I'm putting Vegas fourth. You haven't been to a game there, dude. What are you doing?
Maybe just admit that you've never been there. Maybe just be like, great place.
You're lending credence to the saying, fake news.
Right.
Like, what's, dude, fourth? You haven't been.
But who has, actually?
So you just leave it off.
No, because they didn't have fans there last year, right?
No, well, I don't even think
you can put it on the list.
So, just say, hey, I'm only ranking 29 or whatever it is because I haven't been to the other three. Right, here's my top 29. Doesn't pop the same way, but sure.
Do you guys have any interest in going there to see a game, though? Am I crazy in thinking that?
Like, no. I've never been to Vegas, period.
Yeah, me neither.
Oh, wow, you too.
No, I've never been to Vegas.
Huh.
So I think, honestly, I'd probably be more likely to go to the Knights game than a Raiders game out there.
Oh, I would like to see a hockey game there. Yeah. Because, again, that's probably starting at a more respectable time,
absolutely,
too. So if it's like you're talking like a 1 o'clock kickoff, again, you know, it's 11 or whatever the hell it is, like, I'm all set. Like, I don't want to get up that early to go to a game like that. And it's why I wouldn't want to, like, I don't care to go to L.A. and ever see a road game either. Boy, you two have never been to Vegas.
No, a couple of squares. I feel like I missed my window. Like, at least McCarthy still has a window to go there.
How old are you, Matt?
I've missed 30. My Vegas window.
All right, but you're not married. So, because my thing with Vegas is this. Like, I stopped caring about it once I was really 30. Like, it's great in your 20s. And So, Jones, good for you for having the self-awareness there, because if you're a married dude past 30, sorry to blow up your spot, but here's the truth. When they say, like, what happens in Vegas stays in Vegas, what it really means is if you're over 30, you're married, you have kids, and you're amped to go to Vegas, and you're that age, it means you're going to get hookers and coke. Like, that's what that is. Because once you're out of your 20s and you've done the Vegas thing a couple of times, it's just so, like, plastic and kind of gross. And you should do it once or twice so that you can feel that depravity and, like, wake up or go outside after being inside a place all night long and you've done all kinds of horrible things and you wake up or you go outside and you open the door and you feel like Gollum. Like, the sun singes your eyes. Like, oh, the sin.
Jim, the sun does that to me anytime. I don't have to be in Vegas.
It's a whole different thing, though, when you've been doing God knows what for 6 straight hours and you've lost your morals and money. So, like, do that in your 20s. Get it out of your system. But if you go there past 30 and you're a married man, you have kids and you have a loving relationship and all that, and you're real... Like, sometimes it's a bachelor party. Hey, hon, like, I'm going to go. And if you're jazzed up to go there... And it feels suspect to you, wife, or anyone like that, those in a serious relationship, it's because your dude is going out there to get escorts and cheap cocaine and just party and do all the most horrible things. There's really no reason to go there past 30 years old. Like, I haven't been. Last time I went was 2015. I don't care if I ever go back. The place is kind of gross. It's so plastic. It kind of stinks. Like, I don't care if I ever go back to Las Vegas.
How old's Volan?
That's a good question. Well, we'll continue to go through this list because I find it kind of interesting.
He loves it, apparently.
Well, yeah, but never been for a football game. But yeah, no. So, yes, kind of suspect that it's number 4 for him. Yeah, I haven't been to a game, but man, is it great.
Oh, I love it.
Let me tell you why. We'll go through the rest of this, at least the top 10, and then I'll give you my top 10 because he has some of the best cities at the ass end of this list. It's just, it's wrong, Ben. It's wrong. We'll get to the rest of that and your phone calls after the Hub headlines here with Matt McCarthy on Felger and Matt.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.